Good morning, I'm Kevin Battle. NBA All-Star Weekend kicks off tonight in Los Angeles. You have the Rookie Challenge. Tomorrow, you have the Skills Challenge, three-point shots, and slam dunk contest. Game itself is Sunday. Also Sunday. Sunday's a huge day. You have the Daytona 500 as well. Kurt Busch will now start from the pole after winning Thursday's dual qualifiers. The Terps are also back in action on Sunday against North Carolina State at Comcast Center. That's Gravis Vasquez night. They're going to raise his jersey up to the rafters. Pre-game is 4:30. Tip-off at 5:30 right here on your home for the Terrapins, 105.7 The Fan. And the Orioles have announced that they have signed Vladimir Guerrero to a one-year deal. The official press conference is set for 2 p.m. O's center fielder Adam Jones joined the Norris and Davis show and said the pitcher's going to have some problems with all the power added to the O's lineup.
You got to pitch the sideline. If you look at it, the bottom of our lineup, the possibility of the bottom of our lineup is not going to be just, you know, weak hitters. We're going to have some guys that are, you know, like Hardy, wherever he hits, he pitched in the top of lineups in, you know, last year and, and most of his whole career. So We got a 1-9 squad that's going to hit.
You have Adam Jones, Jimmy Johnson, and now I hear Chris Jericho's on the line.
Chris Jericho's here. Yep.
So unbelievable.
Big day.
This sports update brought to you by Hollywood Casino Perryville. Hollywood Casino Perryville, you have the Italian night at the Epic Buffet, Sunday, February 20th from 4 to 10 p.m. Enjoy veal Milanese, shrimp fra Diavolo, and a little red wine as Frank Carrieri sings the classics, just $13.95, only at Hollywood Casino Perryville. With your sports updates every 20 minutes on the Norris and Davis Show, I'm Kevin Battle, 105.7 The Fan.
105.7 The Fan. Listen live anywhere, anytime. Download the radio.com app for the iPod, iPhone, and now the Android mobile phone.
Radio.com.
Wait, the what?
That's the theme song, right?
It's Walls of Jericho. It's a signature move.
One of the great wrestlers in the history of the game. A wrestling superstar. 23 WWE championships. Chris Jericho joins us here in the Norris and Davis Show. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. What's going on?
Not too much. This ought to turn a few heads. If you go to the library tonight,
yes.
Enoch Pratt Free Library,
yes.
You're down there reading or whatever,
yep.
And in walks Chris Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
Might be a little bit intimidating. He'll be down there signing books tonight. He's got a new book out, his second autobiography. That's pretty cool. You're signing books at the library, Chris.
Yeah, it's interesting whenever you see that, but I've done a few signings at libraries. But the coolest thing about the book is it's now a New York Times bestseller. I found that out 2 days ago. So I am now a two-time New York Times best-selling author, so that makes me extra smart.
John Grisham and Tom Clancy,
though.
Better work,
yeah.
Look out, right?
No joke, though.
I'm on his trail, man. Hellhounds on your trail,
you
John.
You hear the footsteps. Absolutely. Chris Jericho is our guest. Actually, we just read a review in the Baltimore Sun. The guy loved the book. He said he was anticipating disappointment because the first book was so good. He said sequels usually fall flat. He said, not the case. Your book was more like Godfather 2 than, you know, than a flop. So, yeah, no, he was really pleased.
That's
he said it was
cool.
A great book.
That's what I went for. Like I said, I mean, I knew A Lion's Tale was very well received, and people really enjoyed it. So I really had a lot of like some big shoes to fill, but I put a lot of time and effort into it. And when you hear stuff like that and see the book is being successful, this is the fun part for me. It's fun for me to come to town and do all these interviews and come see everybody because you want people to know that it's out there and want people to check it out.
Now here's the deal: you wrote A Lion's Tale, as we talked with Chris Jericho, one of the all-time great wrestlers. You wrote A Lion's Tale, your autobiography, back in 2007. Now you got a new one out, Undisputed: How to Become the World Champion in 1,372 Easy Steps. First of all, I want to know how you came up with the title. Second of all, I want to know what is it? Is this book now picking up from 2007 to now, or is it different?
Well, first off, that's how many matches I had when I became the world champion for the first time. I always kept a log of every match I ever had, starting from my first one back in October of 1990. So it's not just a catchy name. 1,372 matches in is when I won my first title. And A Lion's Tale was basically dealt with, you know, I had this dream when I was a kid to be in the WWE, to be a wrestler, more specifically work for Vince McMahon. So it took me 9 years to achieve that dream with all the worldwide, you know, success in places I went, Japan, Mexico, Germany, etc. So it ended right when I got to the WWE, and Undisputed picks up right where Alliance Tale left off, and here we are. My dream has come true. But was my dream all that I thought it was going to be? Actually, no, it was the exact opposite. It was more of a nightmare for the first year and a half, 2 years that I was there. So it makes for a great story to kind of, you know, when you get your dream finally, was it what you thought it was going to be? In my case, it was the exact opposite.
Yeah, it was interesting to read that. And actually, I think the guy who wrote the review in The Sun said that Chris Jericho is our guest in town, signing his latest book, a second New York Times bestseller. Congratulations. The book, it's. I think a lot of people assume it's going to be lighthearted, a lot of great stories, make you laugh. But you also have some serious stuff in there. You talk about your close friend Chris Benoit as well. So just tell us a little bit about the book in broad strokes.
Well, I think, you know, the biggest difference is Lion's Tale was the story of a guy in his 20s. And when you're in your 20s, things are a little bit more, you know, lighthearted. And it was very funny and very... you know, kind of carefree in a lot of ways. There's a few heavy parts, but not as much as there is in Undisputed.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Undisputed is told from the eyes of a guy in his 30s. So even though it's still really funny, you know, a lot of things happened to me in that time that I really wanted to write about, including, you know, the death of Eddie Guerrero, the death of Chris Benoit, the death of my mother. So I think this book, why it's so much more successful than Lion's Tale already, is that it's more of a complete package in that it's really an emotional roller coaster, which, like any good movie or even, you know, a good song, Stairway to Heaven or something like that, it takes you to a whole different place, it seems. So it really, you know, people say the typical, it makes you laugh, makes you cry, makes you angry, makes you happy,
mm-hmm.
and everything in between. That's what the book does. So it was a really good writing experience, because it was good for me to get some of these experiences that were kind of locked inside and be able to put them on the printed page and be rid of them forever. So it was quite cathartic, to be honest.
Hey, Chris, whatever you just did with the phone, we can't hear you anymore. I don't know if you moved it off your mouth or not. Just wanted to give you that heads up.
Sorry.
Okay. Talking with Chris Jericho. Are you wrestling now?
No, I stopped wrestling back in September, about 5 months ago.
Are you done?
Done for now, yeah, done for now.
Why?
Jesus, I'm really disappointed. I don't want you to tear up on me here.
I'm upset, man. What's the deal? People want to see you back in the ring.
Well, the thing about me is that I've never really just limited myself just to the wrestling moniker, I guess. When I was a kid, I had two dreams. I wanted to be a wrestler and I wanted to be a rock star. Those are the two things that I wanted to do. And I was stupid enough to make both of those dreams come true. So I have a lot of stuff going on with my band, and we've been doing a lot of touring, a lot of traveling. We've been, you know, to England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Germany, Australia, France, Canada, like 7 countries, I think it was, in like about 7 weeks since I left the WWE. So a lot of people are asking, you know, well, how's your break going? Well, my break from the WWE is great. It's great, but I'm still almost just as busy as I've always been. So I always treated wrestling as show business, rock and roll as show business. And I get just as much of a vibe from both of them. And it's cool to see, even in the book, you know, when I'm working at the top of the ladder in the WWE, wrestling in front of thousands of people, you know, in Madison Square Garden one night, and then playing in front of dozens of people in, you know, Sheboygan, Wisconsin, the next with my band, but and having the same passion and the same desire to do both. So it's kind of cool to see how I was at the top of one field and then was building my way up the ladder in another field at the same time. So that's basically what I've been doing, just spending a lot of time with the band is right now.
Yeah, big Kiss fan, as I hear. Anyway, Chris, book signing, you want to tell us where it is again? 7 o'clock tonight, Enoch Pratt Free Library. I think it's on Cathedral Street, that one.
That's the one, yeah.
That's
you guys
the one.
Got to know. I have like 15 signings in 14 days, so you got to help me out.
No, I know. That's why I want to just let people know, because my kid is torturing me to come down there and meet you. He's a big fan, so we'll see you tonight.
Enoch Pratt Library. That's the one.
That's right. Enoch Pratt Free Library, Cathedral Street, downtown Baltimore.
Very excited, man. Baltimore is a great town. It's a great wrestling town, a great rock and roll town, a great Chris Jericho town.
It absolutely is. Congratulations, and we'll see you tonight about 7.
Yeah, it'll be one of the tough guys when he walks in. You'll look and say, that was Ed Norris.
Yeah.
Well, help me out, because I am the least tough guy in the place.
I'm the least tough guy in my place right now. So
I'm a show business tough guy. That's all I got.
Hey, Chris, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Good luck with the book.
All right, guys. We'll see you later on. Thanks a lot.
All right, man. See you later.
So Chris Jericho joining us here in the Norris and Davis Show. Get our numbers again, 410-583-1057.
Not an easy thing to do to write two New York Times bestsellers. I find that pretty remarkable. Because you think about this, and people have their own opinions of professional wrestling and all that stuff. The guy's got two bestsellers. I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at. Pretty interesting guy.
All right, so speaking of wrestling, got a wrestling dilemma that has gone on. Joel Northrup is a high school kid in Iowa. Wrestling in the state championship. Exactly.
Yeah.
Wrestling in the state championship. In the tournament, anyway. 35-4 coming in just a sophomore. He defaulted in his first match because his opponent was a girl. Not because he doesn't believe girls belong in there or whatever. He doesn't believe that it's the right thing to do for him to wrestle a girl. It's against his religious beliefs.
Right, exactly.
His father's a minister. He said, quote, wrestling is a combat sport, and it can get violent at times. As a matter of conscience and my faith, I do not believe it is appropriate for a boy to engage a girl in this manner. And then he added, it is unfortunate that I have been placed in a situation not seen in most other high school sports in Iowa. So this brings up a couple of different questions. Now, he's not out of the tournament because you have to lose twice. He goes into the consolation bracket. He won his first match. He could face this girl again if she ends up in the consolation bracket and they both advance all the way through. Based on her record, I'm considering that fairly unlikely. There's another girl that's in the tournament as well, and he could conceivably... No, actually, he won't face her because she lost both of her matches already, and she is out. But this begs a number of questions. Number one, if you were a wrestler, if your kid was a wrestler, would you want your kid or would you wrestle a girl?
Should women compete in sports with men and not just in women's sports?
In that kind of a sport.
Yeah, in that kind of a sport, or actually in any sport.
So in baseball, your girl doesn't want to play on the softball team. She wants to play on the baseball team. Should she be allowed to? And should the boy then, if he wants to play on the field hockey team, should he be allowed to play on the field hockey team?
And that's my gripe with this. That's my big gripe with this. If you're going to allow the girl to play on the boy's baseball team, then the boy that wants to play on the girl's soccer team should be allowed. You can't have it both ways. This is like, you want everything to be equal, but you still want the guy to pay for the movie.
But the boys have a soccer team. He plays on the boy's soccer team. He shouldn't be able to play on the girl's soccer team.
So why should the girl play on the boy's soccer team?
Why should she play in the...
Yeah, why?
Well, it happens...
There are girls' soccer
teams. It happens rarely.
There are girls' softball
teams. How often
does
it happen?
Not very often.
On the softball
or soccer
team?
Why should it happen at all?
You mean why should a girl be able to play on the boys' soccer team? You know what? There are so few isolated incidents that I don't believe you come up with a blanket policy that says both should be able to play in the other.
Because it only goes one way. It only goes for girls to play in the boys. And I just think it's not fair. Somebody's got to stick up for boys once in a while.
Why? Because if we come out here and say the reason it doesn't work that way is because boys are better athletes than girls, and so you can't have it both ways, then we're sexist if we say that?
That's right. You know what? But I believe they're stronger biologically. And the fact is, we talked about the marathon thing before. If you come in 15th, you get a trophy, be the number one woman. If you want to compete on an even playing field, then there is no women's trophy. It's you win or you lose.
But you're making this, like, this is an argument that all women have this argument. It's such a small, I don't think we can throw it in there that women have this
women.
Argument.
I got text messages coming in from women saying there should be no girls in boy sports. I mean, a lot of them are supportive of this kid, saying they shouldn't have girls in boy sports. They should compete with girls. So, I mean, I just think you can't have it both ways.
410-583-1057. You can text us at 843326, your thoughts on this. Look, I don't think they're getting it wrong too often. It makes me uncomfortable on the whole deal with the girls against the boys. The flip side of this, however, is we talked about Nicole Woody, who competed in Anne Arundel County. And I did a story on her at her high school. She was the only girl on the team, and the boys had no problem with that.
Right.
How do you deny Nicole the opportunity to compete in the sport that she loves if all the girls that she's wrestling against stink? But I get it. It's very unfair to the boy. If you're the boy that has to face her, as you said, you can't win.
You can't win. I mean, because it's a lose-lose for the boy. If he wins and he hurts her, it's like, you beat a girl. Look what you did to this girl. And if he loses, he's just humiliated. You lost to a girl. And I just think there's so many things wrong with this. And then there's a sexual aspect of it that no one's talking about. He's talking about roughing up a girl. Wrestling is a combat sport. You're in your crotch. You're in your groin. He's going to be touching her breasts, her genitals. I mean, it's just a fact. You're rolling around on a mat, twisted up together. Is it proper at that age? Should he be doing that?
When I was in high school, we had a kid, I think, Jamie Ferrillo, who was this great wrestler, and he went out and faced another guy who had acne all over his entire body. Jamie came back and got pinned in 10 seconds. So what happened, Jamie? I couldn't wrestle that guy. He had zits popping on me everywhere. Aww,
Jesus.
So some people just throw in the towel, man. It happens. We'll get to your phone calls coming up on the Norris and Davis Show. If you're looking for the perfect gift, there's no better choice than a beautiful piece of jewelry from J. Brown Jewelers. At J. Brown, you'll find a vast selection of bracelets, earrings, necklaces, rings, and estate jewelry, each handpicked for quality and beauty. Exquisite gemstones, including royal sapphires, romantic rubies, exotic emeralds, and brilliant diamonds in settings that will take her breath away. When you're looking for a gift that turns heads, trust your decisions to a jeweler who will help you in making the best choice. J. Brown Jewelers carries fashion jewelry from Lady Hart, Greg Ruth, Monte Carlo, and a wide selection of famous Swiss timepieces from Patek Philippe, Rolex, Cartier, and Chopard. Whatever your Valentine's wish, J. Brown's thoughtful and professional staff will make sure that your selection is one that reflects your sincerity and individual taste. For this special day and all the special occasions in your life, visit J. Brown Jewelers in Pikesville, 1802 Reisterstown Road.
February 25th, 20-